Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody out there listening to the Independent Corner, this is your host Jonathan Moody, and with me is a special guest Jeff C. Smith. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing all right. What's going on, man?
All right, not much. Jeff is the director of Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
Yeah.
I've always, you know, when I first heard that title, I was wondering if it possibly was a reference to Surf Nazis Must Die. No, no reference.
Did you like it better if it's a reference to Surf Nazis Must Die?
You know, actually, I probably like it more knowing it wasn't.
Okay, well, okay. Guess what? It wasn't.
Okay.
It can be not.
But was it, though?
No.
Okay.
It was more of a statement, I suppose, rather than just happened to be a good title as well.
Cool, yeah.
Because really, shouldn't stupid teenagers die?
Hmm?
Stupid teenagers, they should die, don't you think?
Right, well, they must.
Well, particularly in the 80s horror movie, that's kind of like the whole, that's the plot summed up in four words.
Right. So, as far as, how did you go about creating this movie?
It was just an idea that I have a good friend named Drew, and Drew and I, when we would hang out because we're cool and the ladies love us, we would be alone and we would talk about movie ideas, you know? That's,
mm-hmm.
Is that what the cool guys do? They just talk about different movie ideas, I think? Pretty much, no?
All in the horror genre, I guess.
All right,
know, a lot
well,
of...
that's what we would do. And we were like, you know, we had different ideas for, you know, superhero movie or like the anti-romantic comedy movie. And then we had this idea for kind of like a horror comedy that was, you know, kind of a tribute to all of our favorite horror movies of the 80s, all rolled up into one kind of satire slash homage. And, it was just an idea, and also we really wanted a good friend of ours named Jovan. We thought he was really funny. It would be really, we just thought it'd be interesting to watch him in a situation where he was out of control and had to be cool because he's the coolest guy in the world. So we thought it'd be really neat if Jovan were kind of like an Ash, Evil Dead kind of character running around with all hell breaking loose. And so that's basically all we had. And then at the time, the title of the movie was going to be Blood and Guts, because that was going to be our like summing up the entire genre, Blood and Guts. And we had another friend named Curtis who was an actor and really wanted to make a movie for years and years, and he liked this idea in particular because he's a horror fan. And one day he said, we really should make a movie, and let's do Blood and Guts. And he kind of stumbled upon a small budget, and at the time Drew was busy, so he couldn't help out, but we went ahead and made the movie, and that's pretty much the origins.
Oh, nice. So how did you go about casting?
Well, we were lucky that the part of the lead, Kane, was written for our friend Jovan, and Jovan was able to do it, so... Jovan has been a friend of ours for years and years, and then besides Jovan, we actually had auditions with real Hollywood actors, and we got something like 1,400 submissions the first week that we posted our, you know, sides out there in the world, or our breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got really lucky that really good people came in, and we got our first choices of everybody we liked, and we were lucky that we wanted to, even though we were doing a low-budget movie, I believe that the thing that really gives away low-budget besides crappy video, which we have as well, but like really bad acting. So it was very important to us to get real actors, and that way we'd still have the really bad video, but the actors would be good, so people might give us... some slack.
So what kind of camera did you use?
DV, 3-chip, simple. We've been accused of shooting it on anything from a handy cam to a cellular phone, but we actually did shoot it on 3-chip DV and just degraded the image afterwards to make it look as crappy as possible.
All right, cool. So we've got a couple of people listening to the show. I guess I know in the chat room right now we've got Jeff and Joe. Hopefully if they want to ask a question, hopefully they'll come up with something soon.
Sure.
I guess have you met Joe Flynn?
Oh, I have met Joe Flynn. Of course I have.
He's listening to the show.
Excellent. Joe Flynn is a good guy. We met him at Silicon beginning of the month of October, I think, in San Jose, California. Good man.
Good man. So, okay, well, I guess he's probably already asked you questions then, huh?
He's asked some questions. He did a little Q&A. I was there with the producer of the movie, Sarah Perel, and we did a little Q&A to the audience of six, maybe, at our midnight screening in San Jose, and he asked us some questions, and it was kind of silly because nobody was really there to listen, but we had fun anyway, and we hung out at the bar with Joe, and Joe is no stranger to the bar, I would guess, and we had fun.
Cool. So I guess horror films have been something kind of more of a passion for you?
I'm a fan of 80s movies in general. I'm a child of the 80s, so pretty much any, you know, it can be 80s horror, it could be, you know, John Hughes, it could be, I was just watching Great Outdoors on Encore before calling in, and that's a classic. I mean, just pretty much 80s cinema in general is all good, and certainly 80s horror movies are fun. It's, you know, the time when they didn't make sense, really didn't need to. You didn't really care. You just watched it and you had fun. And
cool.
You really rooted for those kids to get killed, and they did.
Yeah, exactly. As far as the movie is concerned, like, I was surprised about the length, but that seems to be a normal, like, B-movie length, you know, like.
It's short.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean, or is it too long?
Some
could argue it feels too long.
Well,
some could say you have about 5 minutes worth of good stuff, and that's the nudity, and then, you know, get out. But, you know, we did keep it short. We decided we certainly wanted to get him in and get him out, and it's only 80 minutes, and that's rounding up.
Cool. Jeff wants to know, what was the budget?
Low.
Low.
We never actually say. I will say that we've been getting some very fun reviews from kids on Netflix, where they're just angry, angry people on Netflix. I love it. And accused us of shooting it on about $1.50. And he's wrong. It was a little bit more than $1.50, but not that.
Because they have to count catering. I'm sure you guys
had
to give them some food.
Honestly, we had a lot of alcohol on the set.
Oh, okay.
Not cheap.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were more than dumb. It wasn't $2 check. We had some good, you know, good alcohol. Not everybody drank because not everybody was of age, but everyone holding a camera certainly did, and that's why you get the shaky cam. And, no, I take that back. Everybody was wasted. No, that's not true.
Nobody was wasted when they were doing the movie?
Not during. We did have to stop shooting some nights. Because
everybody was having too much fun?
Well, we were shooting one night on Cinco de Mayo, and there was a wonderful bar close to the house where we shot the movie in Long Beach. And we decided we would go there frequently on our lunch breaks. And that was not smart. You shouldn't go to a bar on your lunch break with a bunch of, you know, kids in their early 20s. But we did. And I know for a fact on Cinco de Mayo, we planned to shoot after lunch. And it was not to be.
Well, you know, I guess sometimes you just can't film, right?
Well, we couldn't film at all. We could tape, but we certainly couldn't film.
Okay. But as far as did you ever think about saving up some more money and doing it on film ever, or did you always think it was going to be on video?
Well, yeah, we did, but we kind of were put in the position at the time where I personally thought, you know, this is going to be fun to make a movie like this, and really I didn't think it was going to be seen. I know Curtis, our executive producer, had huge goals for it and thought, you know, this is going to be on you know, Skinemax, and it's going to be, you know, we're to sell foreign, and it's going to be like this huge underground hit. And I thought, you know, it will be what it'll be. And so we kind of made it under the impression that we had an executive producer that gave another executive producer named Wayne that gave us the money and really didn't care what we did with it. And I took advantage of that completely and thought, well, if he's not going to care, then we're going to do some weird stuff. And you know, we did a lot of things in the movie bad on purpose just because we thought, boy, this is going to be funny.
Right.
That we're going to have a scene where the lights go out and you're not going to see anything on screen for a minute and a half. And we knew this is going to really bug people, but some people may find it funny. So I didn't think... Now I would shoot on film only because I'm actually surprised how much video bugs some moviegoers. I mean, most of the bad reviews we've gotten from the kids on Netflix and one guy in particular on Amazon was just furious that our movie... With a budget as low as ours and, you know, obviously shot on video, he was furious that it could even exist on Amazon.com or in his local video store. It offended him that something so low budget would be next to, you know, Pearl Harbor or Independence Day in his video store. He took great offense to it. So I really didn't think at the time before we shot it that film was that important, but apparently it is important to some people because, you know, like I said, most of our bad reviews are over the fact that we were that low budget. They can't get over the fact that it's digital video.
Well, see, that's the thing. People are kind of weird about that. I mean, really, like, why would he go and buy it if he...
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Do you think he even bought it, or...?
No, he said in his review that he just rented it, and he thought, he liked the title. He thought, how low budget could it be? And he found out. I don't know. I think the people that... A lot of our best reviews have come from people that really like low-budget horror movies, or people like our good friends at HorrorFanatics.com or Fatally Yours or Chopping Block. They've been they watch a lot of low-budget horror movies, so they can get... They've seen worse, I'm guessing, and they can get beyond, oh, this is shot on video. Okay, now let's watch it. And I think a lot of the people that are finding us have never seen a low-budget horror movie before, and we are their first experience, and they just can't get beyond the fact that it looks... that it has, albeit intentional... it has a very low-budget slash amateur look to it.
I mean, that was the point anyway, right?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we even had one, was it a real review or was it Netflix? I can't remember, but somebody said, I think that they tried to make a real horror movie, and then when they found out how bad it was, now they're telling people it's a comedy.
I don't know. I mean,
the first... death, the guy just keeps bleeding and bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. I don't know how you could, you know, he just bleeds. I don't know how you could think that we were doing that, like, we're making a statement. It's supposed to be stupid.
I'm looking at all the reviews that you have on Amazon.com, the 6 reviews.
Yeah.
And none of them seem bad.
Oh, keep looking.
Wait.
Well, there's one that's bad, and that's the guy that was offended that we even exist.
Oh, that never should have been released.
Never should have been released is the title. That's a good one, isn't it? But
yeah.
Then there's also a dude, God bless him, that thinks that we were a documentary on horror movies and gives us a great review. I don't know what movie he's reviewing. It's not ours, but he liked whatever he saw and is convinced that we are a documentary on 80s slasher movies.
Hmm.
So we will take his 4 out of 5 stars with a smile, but...
It wasn't the If Only I Were a Frat Guy?
No.
Okay.
That's a good one. We like that one. You keep looking, man.
Not good old-fashioned, low-budget fun. All these are good reviews except for that one, it seems.
Yeah. No, we're okay on Amazon. If you ever find our Netflix page.
I'll have to look that up because that would be
fun.
That's
where we get. That's the lamb of the slaughter, man. That's where we're like, our user rating is 1.6 out of 5.
Oh.
So that's... That's okay. I think a lot of the kids on Netflix, I mean, I don't blame them. It's much more fun to write a negative review than a positive review. I mean, a lot of people, I'm also amazed that a lot of people that take the time to write reviews of our movie on Netflix, I look to see like what else they're reviewing, and they've never reviewed anything else.
So they pick your movie?
Yeah, we inspired them to be mad or to say, you know. You
okay,
know,
yeah,
only
there's a couple
through.
One out of zero. Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 29 customer reviews on Netflix. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, I mean, that's remarkable that you even have 29 people that went out and reviewed your movie,
well,
even if they didn't like it.
Well, if you look at how many people actually rated it, something like 956. But I don't know how many of those people actually did it, or if it's just jackasses that go, one star.
That actually seems like a South Park type thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's just the net nerds that.
Right, right. People who are just out there to hate.
Sure.
You
that's
know,
fine.
The,
you know what?
Directors.
I'm fine with it. It bothers me, you know, maybe one
right.
second of the day, just because I realize. It's kind of cool in a way because you know you've got a real movie. Like, you have something out there in the world when jackasses on the internet are telling you it's a piece of crap. So I'm proud that we're being just ass-raped on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. People are just so... I mean, yeah, you know, people have said, Joe said, they're just jaded and mean and... You know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's fine.
Yeah, they can be like that. I don't care.
All good.
You know, whatever. I think that's the thing. I think people watch the movies and they think that, or they don't even watch the movies. They just sometimes they even review or say nasty things about movies before the movie even comes out, like on IMDb.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we got some one stars and everything before it was even released. So I know that happens, and also the phenomenon I never really knew existed that I'm learning also from the kids on Netflix is they'll watch like the first 10 minutes, stop, which is fine. You know, I've turned off movies while watching it and thinking, oh, this isn't for me, and I'll stop. But then they go on Netflix and they go like, I couldn't get past the first 10 minutes. Stay away. You know, like, I don't know. I can't think I would ever tell anybody to stay away from a movie. I would certainly say, you know, I didn't like it, but you may. I mean, I couldn't stand the Transformers movie. A lot of people love the Transformers movie, so good for them. They're making Transformers 2 if the writer's strike stops, and good for all them. I'll watch the cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, you don't like the Transformer movie?
No, I didn't care for it. Did you like it?
You know,
It's okay if you did.
I don't know. I bought it because...
Did you buy, like, the Best Buy Optimus Prime Transforming DVD?
No. I ended up buying the Walmart. You get, like, a free 20-minute short thing.
I'm sure the making of is much more interesting than the actual movie, because the actual movie, to me, was just, you know...
Too long?
Oh, well, yeah, and just a lot of, like, you know, unnecessary... you know, I didn't care about the guys in the desert. I didn't care about the nerds that were, you know, I didn't care about Shia.
I like Shia.
Shia was fine. I didn't understand why.
I don't usually like Shia.
No, Shia, well, Shia plays the same character in every movie. But I didn't understand why Bumblebee all of a sudden had to turn into Herbie the Love Bug. And, you know, I'm going to help Shia fall in love with the hot girl. I mean, they had a hot girl. That was cool.
Yeah, I mean, she was
that. Fine. But then, I don't know, maybe I'm...
But see, then, in real life, you know, if this were real life and not some crappy, you know, movie, she wouldn't have no interest in him whatsoever. You know,
right, yeah. Well, I'll buy Robots in Disguise from Another Planet, but I don't buy she was hanging out with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
I can only suspend my disbelief so much.
Actually, my dad watched it with me and hated it.
Really?
And we watched about like an hour and a half of it, and I was like, "Oh, there's an hour more." He's like, "What?"
It was. It certainly had. And then when they were fighting at the end, I was having trouble like figuring out who was who because they all seemed like they were all white, black, or gray. So I didn't know who was fighting, and I don't know why the black Transformer was the only one that died. And like Optimus Prime didn't seem to care. He's like, yes, our brother Jazz died, but anyway, let's move on.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, or how at the end of the movie was the only time we got to actually see, what's his name? The villain, my mind.
Megatron?
What?
Megatron?
Yeah, Megatron. Yeah. I was wondering why it waited till the end of the movie to have that battle, and all of a sudden he dies.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought that was kind of lame.
We need, like, Shia LaBeouf's grandfather, like, with his kick-ass glasses from the past. I don't know. I don't remember much now because it's been since July. But they're good with the marketing, because I saw a friend of mine had the Best Buy DVD, and it's like, you know, it's the DVD case that transforms into Optimus Prime. And I thought, that's pretty cool. I'd get that. I'll never put the discs in, but I would have a Transformer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. So anyway, I don't know how we got on Transformers, but
I have no idea either.
But I didn't care for it. But I certainly would never tell anybody, don't go see Transformers, because a lot of people liked them. That's how we got onto it. We're talking about those haters. Those terrible, terrible haters that really hurt my feelings.
I just want to make a mention. I just looked at my emails or whatever.
Yes.
Are you a big Felisa Rose fan?
My big what?
Felisa Rose from Sleepaway Camp.
Sure.
Yeah. You've seen Sleepaway Camp, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she might be coming on the show.
Oh, sweet.
We have
a little homage to Sleepaway Camp in Stupid Teenagers. What's the name of the girl that's got the shirt, her name on her shirt? It's crap. Anyway. The bitchy girl. Who's the bitchy girl in that movie? What's her character name?
I forgot. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we have our character named Tiffany that we put her name on her shirt, just like the girl in Sleepaway Camp, because we thought we were, you know, Curtis and I worked on the script together, and we were watching, you know, movies like Night of the Demons and April Fool's Day and Sleepaway Camp, looking for little things to throw out there to the horror fans. We saw, you know, the bitchy girl in Sleepaway Camp has her name on her shirt, which we thought, that's so retarded. Let's do that. So Tiffany, the Tiffany character played by the talented Lindsay Gareth, who was just in another movie that didn't get the greatest reviews in the world, The Comebacks. And I didn't see it, so I'm not sure who she played in The Comebacks, but she played Tiffany, and so she had her name across her breast.
Yeah, so you didn't go watch that movie?
The Comebacks? No.
Even though one of your stars was in it?
Yeah, I try to be a pal when I can. I did go see Superbad, because another one of the girls in our movie, Ashley Schneider, she was in it for like a second.
But Superbad, I've heard, was a good movie.
Superbad was good. I'll tell you, here's my problem with Superbad. I like Superbad a lot, but Superbad for me was so accurate to my high school years that it kind of made me uncomfortable in a weird way. I kind of need to see it again now that I realize, oh, they're okay. It just has that real, you know, the discomfort of high school. I don't know. You sound like a cool guy, so maybe you were like the cool
guy. Oh, no. Heck no. I'm a geek.
Okay. so you might have that. I don't know. Have you been out of high school for a while? Are you still in
high school? Yeah, no. I've been out of high school for 7 years, buddy.
All right. Excellent. But you might go back and watch that and go, oof.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen it, but
it does seem
like one of the movies that would. I'm waiting for the DVD.
So I'm sure it'll come out with a sweet, super bad, unrated, extra bad DVD or whatever it'll be.
Well, you know, who's running Hollywood right now? Judd Apatow.
No kidding, man.
You know, he's got like, what, 20 projects already in the works?
Yeah,
you know?
He has yet to miss. And I'll tell you, not that long ago, I finally picked up the DVD for Freaks and Geeks, and I never saw it when it was on.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh, my gosh. Is that so great? That's a great show.
Yeah.
And I was bummed that I missed it, and I'm actually very bummed that it's long gone, but what a great show.
You know, it deserves, like, the thing where it has its own DVD, you know, own, like, complete series and everything. Mm-hmm. Because it was such a show that If you looked at it back then, if you really watched it back then, you would have known it wasn't going to last. It was too good.
But that's what's kind of cool about it, don't you think? That, I mean, it's kind of cool that not everybody got it.
Right. But the people who went to watch it and people who liked it, like, there are people I show it to and they're just like, eh.
Really?
Eh. You know, but me, you know, but then there's a lot of people like me and a lot of my other friends who just, who adore that movie, that show.
And, yeah.
You know, I mean, I had to go pick up Paul Feig's two books. Have you ever read those? He wrote two books about him, his growing up, a lot of his stories about his childhood. And I almost think that he must have made it all up.
Right.
You know, because it doesn't seem like something that would, you know, be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like a lot of it was kind of, like, because they were too painstakingly real. You know, like, they were too real.
Well, I'll tell you what, Freaks and Geeks, you know, it's a great show that didn't get the appreciation it deserves. I'll tell you what that reminds me of, sir. Little movie called Stupid Teenagers Must Die. Let's bring it back, shall we? Let's bring it back to the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Try to sell DVDs here, man.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all I'm saying. You should be cool, everybody out there. You be cool. You like Stupid Teenagers Must Die. You don't be one of those douchebags that don't get it.
Well, see, that's the thing. People who don't get it, or the people that are probably going to say all that negative stuff.
Sure.
Or whatever, because they just don't care. You know, like, they're either some people, bitter directors who tried to make a movie and failed.
Right.
Or people who you know, just review bad movies.
Sure. Or, you know what, I'll even take the hit. There's probably people out there that really didn't like it, which is totally fine. But, I mean, we kind of, going back to what we were talking about before, we kind of made it as a movie. We knew this is not going to be for everybody. And if you look at, like, our IMDb ratings on IMDb.com, most, we you know, it's 1 through 10 on IMDb.com for the star ratings. And a majority of our ratings on IMDb are 10. The second most ratings we get on IMDb is 1. And then we have like a couple scattered in between, but either it's a 10 or a 1, and not much in between. So to me, that just says people either love it or they hate it, and that's totally cool.
Where do you see that? Oh, okay.
Switched over. You're going,
I guess, the movie meter?
Yep. Oh, okay. Not the movie meter. That says, like, you know, how many people are looking at a page. But there should be, like, a user rating close to the top.
Close to the top.
Look for stars.
Okay,
I think our it's like 5 point something is our.
Oh, 5.9. 5.9.
See, but that's okay. That's because.
But yeah, at least it's not 1.9.
Well, go to Netflix if you want to see that kind of thing.
That's right.
If I ever want to, yeah, get an ego boost, I go to Amazon. If I ever want to feel like crap, Netflix.
Well,
if I want to feel just kind of, you know, level, IMDb.
Yeah, at least you're getting a mixture right there.
Sure.
You know, I saw your movie. The way I saw it was I rented it from Movie Gallery.
Oh, yeah?
So
cool.
I'm guessing, I mean, how did you get the distribution deal?
After we finished the movie, we started, I worked a lot with producer Sarah Perel, and we just started sending the movie out to a lot of festivals and horror review sites just to start getting quotes and to see if anybody would screen us in festivals. And we screened last April at a festival in Philadelphia called the Backseat Film Festival. Which
Doug Sackman's.
Yes, very good. Doug,
yes, Sackman. Yes, I have had him on my show. Now that he's a porno director, he's hilarious.
Well, he also does the punk rock Holocaust.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's actually how I really knew of him. And then I heard he did like the Triple Exorcist.
Yeah, totally. So he was there running around on roller skates at Backseat, and Backseat was really we screened at this other festival before that, but that was like a lame one.
Did you find out about it through MySpace or did you?
Yeah, you know, MySpace. People have asked, like, you know, I'm making a low-budget movie, and, you know, where do I, like, what should I do for contacts and stuff? And I, as lame as it sounds, I always point people to MySpace because we've gotten so much attention and...
Well, you got me.
We got
you.
Exactly. So it can't be lame. through MySpace. We got one of our composers, DJ. We found him on MySpace, and a lot of the stuff from MySpace. So
I thought the music was great. So
cool. That's the music was quite the ordeal. We had in the finished film there are three credited composers, but we actually went through five different people to get to where we are, and I will never underestimate the importance of music, and especially a horror movie, ever again. In the end, we kind of made a Frankenstein kind of job of somebody's score in this scene and somebody else's score in here. It's mainly the score of a dude named John Dracy. But also we've got a little bit of our friend who also did the website, Randy Taylor, who may be listening, Randy. And if you are, you should have called in by now, you jerk. DJ as well, man. Where are you? And then another guy named Chris Dingman. But we also had a dude that we talked to for months and months about doing score, and he had lots of ideas, and he just never actually did anything. So we wasted a lot of time talking to him. And then another friend of mine who's actually, I'm in a comedy rock band called Raven and Scum, and he's the guitar player. And we do the closing credit song, which is called Nothing's Gonna Tear Us Apart, love theme from Stupid Teenagers Must Die. He was going to do like some guitar tracks and everything for the score, but he had personal problems and couldn't do it. So music, man, music was a bitch. But I'm glad to hear that. You think it turned out okay. Some people don't like it. I love it.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool that you got all
these people.
We were
asking about distribution, and we totally went into a music thing. But
yeah.
I can go back to distribution, or if you think it's too
late. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
We can go back. Sure, man, it's not too late. so anyway, we, you know, like I was saying, we were sending the movie out to all sorts of places, and then we started just sending out to Sarah just started finding I don't know how she found all the distributors and everything. I think she was reading Fangoria and looking at who was, you know, releasing movies on Fangoria. And so she just started sending emails to everybody. And a lot of these distributors also, it goes back to MySpace. They have MySpace pages. So she would say, hey, we made this movie called Stupid Teenagers Must Die. Would you like to see it? And most of them did. And then we got an offer from a couple people, and we went with a company called Vanguard, who really don't do horror movies, but we went with them anyway. And
well, your movie wasn't necessarily just a horror movie. It was a comedy, too.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know if the company Vanguard or whatever, if they do what they do. Do they usually do, like, drama or?
They do everything, really. Their catalog is pretty eclectic. They do also a lot of Spanish language movies. They have when we went and met with them in their offices, the most notable title I saw in their office on their wall was they did the original version of Sling Blade with Billy Bob Thornton before he did it again for Miramax.
Aww.
So they've got, and they also have Bryan Singer's first movie, Public Access. So
cool.
That's kind of, and then they also have Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
There you go.
Which is pretty cool.
Oh, oh man. Did you go to the video store the day it was released and just go, oh, my God, there's my movie?
Of course I did. I'm a dork. we didn't actually know if we were going to be in any actual stores because the distribution company Vanguard would kind of dangle it around us. They go, well, we know we'll get you on Amazon and Netflix and stuff like that. We're not sure if it'll actually be any brick-and-mortar stores. And the day it came out, I decided to drive to there's a store in Huntington Beach called DVD Planet. And before DVD Planet was DVD Planet, it was called Ken Crane's, and they sold Laserdiscs. And when I was in high school, I was a big Laserdisc geek. I basically had my job in high school so I could buy, you know, $100 Laserdiscs. And so I would go to King Crane's all the time to buy Laserdiscs. And then when the DVD thing kicked in and Laserdiscs went bye-bye and my collection became worthless.
Well, it's not worthless unless you're Laserdisc player broke.
Well, it's there, but you know, once you go DVD, I don't want to flip discs anymore.
Right.
I don't want to have to, you know, lug out this gigantic sphere to watch the first hour of a movie on Laserdisc. So I was very happy when DVD came around. I wasn't one of those guys that was like, Laserdisc forever, to hell with DVD. I was like, look how small these are. And you know,
what were the first DVDs that you ever got?
The first DVD I bought was was Alfred Hitchcock's Strangers on a Train.
For real?
Because it had an alternate ending that wasn't on the Laserdisc, and that drove me crazy. So, and I bought DVD player like when they were new. My first DVD player was $700. but it was totally worth it to me because at the time, Laserdiscs, which was, you know, I was buying a ton of Laserdiscs, and the most bare bones Laserdisc that was just the movie would be widescreen, but it would be like $40. And all these DVDs were coming out from Warner Brothers that had all the bonus features that were on $100 Laserdiscs for, you know, $19.95. So I thought, all right, I'll bite the bullet and buy a $700 DVD player because I'll save money in the long run for buying these $20 DVDs. And I had a friend, my friend Drew, who was the guy that came up with Blood and Guts with me, which became Stupid Teenagers. He was like, no, DVDs will never catch on. And so for a long time, I didn't even tell him I bought the DVD player because I thought he was going to make fun of me. But, you know.
Well, you know, who's got the last laugh?
Well, not me, because I spent $700 for a DVD player. When he finally bought his, it was $150. So
okay.
He got the last
laugh.
So I never win.
But, hey, guess what else is on DVD?
Hmm.
Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
That's true. Not on Laserdisc, but how cool would that be? Not even on VHS.
Well, you know, I mean...
But why would it be? Do people still have VHS out there?
I do.
Do you? Do they?
Well, I've got a DVD, or what is it? I got a TV VHS combo.
Okay. But, like, if you go into a video store, do they have new VHS, or is it all DVD now?
I think they do have VHS. I'm not sure, though. Actually, at Movie Gallery, I don't think they do. I think it's all DVD at Movie Gallery.
Yeah.
I know at the old video store I have that before Movie Gallery came in, there was the old movie store that I used to go to, Movie Scene, that I still go to occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
To pick up like stuff I, you know, can't get at Movie Gallery or whatever. But they have old VHSs, you know. So they still have their VHSs, but I'm sure they have it because they've got a bigger store and they can't just keep, you know, they don't have enough DVDs to kind of fill the space.
Not yet.
But pretty soon, Monday, they'll have it, and they'll be like, what do we need all these for?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just sell them.
Totally.
But you know what? People will buy them because, you know, why not?
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know, there's some things you can't get on DVD that you can get on VHS, you know?
It's true. Not for long. I mean, what was I looking for that's not on DVD? Well, they're slowly coming. Like, I was holding out for a long time for that wonderful Corey Haim, Corey Feldman movie, License to Drive.
And finally came on DVD.
With commentary, too. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. I mean, commentary is my favorite bonus feature of all. And when License to Drive had it, I was in heaven.
What'd you think about doing a commentary track and everything?
That was cool, too. I got to do a commentary track with Javon, and it was just basically us goofing around, and he brought his new baby, and that annoyed some people to the commentary track because every once in a while she would cry. But
it annoyed people? Like, did people tell you that? Like,
actually, producer Curtis Anderson. I was just talking to him the other day, and we hadn't talked about the commentary track. He hadn't heard it until after the DVD came out, and I asked him, "What'd you think of the commentary?" He goes, "Could have done without the baby." So I punched him in the face and said, "Shut up." I could do without you, sir. I could do without
you. Well, he's not calling in, so, you know.
Exactly.
So what kind of supporter is he?
I'm actually surprised that we're already about 39 minutes in. And,
nobody's called in yet.
They're probably
going
to call.
I mean, none of the cast and crew have called in yet.
I'm sure they're mesmerized, actually, by the conversation and how many times we can start going in a direction of like, the answer to your question, and then we veer off. I will go back to that, find the DVD in the store the day it was released, because you think I forgot, and I haven't. Ken Cranes became DVD Planet in Huntington Beach, so I went to DVD Planet, and they had two copies of Stupid Teenagers Must Die on the shelf. So like a huge dork, I did buy one of them.
What? I mean, wouldn't you want to save it for other people to see?
No. Hell with them. Well, there was two. But here's the thing, man. How often, and who knows when I'm going to get the chance again, let's be honest, how often do you get to go into a store and buy a movie that you made? So I threw $20 their way and all that, and I took a picture of it.
Did you tell them that was your movie?
No, how embarrassing. Because they'd be like, great, Stupid Teenagers Was Dying, good for you. But so there were two copies of it. I bought one, and the other one was like on its side, like mixed in with the rest. Just the placement wasn't very good. So I did some rearranging on the shelf and gave it a very prominent location.
Did you go back to see if anybody ever bought it?
I haven't been back yet.
Oh.
I'm sure somebody did. I'm going to check now. I forgot about it, actually.
You should go tomorrow. And just...
I'm going to go tomorrow.
No, but don't buy it because you want somebody else to actually get it.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should go up to the next person, like the person like next to you at that video store, or that the place you use. You should be like, you know what? I heard that was a really good movie. You should buy that.
That's really good.
You know, right there you go. You know.
No, see, I'm a jerk. I'd be like totally opposite. I'd be like, I heard that was shot on video. No, stay away. I can only get through 10 minutes. Don't avoid. Read my review on Netflix. You'll see. Terrible.
And then that guy would be like, you know what? That's true.
But that's reverse psychology. He'd be like, what is this movie?
You think that'll happen?
No. No one's gonna buy it. It's cool though.
I'm
sorry. I'm slightly distracted. I'm getting text messages from Mr. Matt Worley, who's out there and who's not calling in, which is fine because he's got nothing to say. But he was part of the crew on Stupid Teenagers. He was. He's helping me to this day. We're preparing. We recently signed a deal with an international sales rep, and we're trying to put together a version of the movie that doesn't have the dialogue track, but has the sound effects and music, so they can dub it for foreign languages. And I really want to hear how they can dub in Japanese. Kane saying, "Ain't that about a fat funky bitch?" So I'm really hoping that day comes. So Matt Worley, stop texting me. I know you're there. Sorry, a little shout out.
Yeah, hopefully he'll, did he text you saying he's listening to the show?
He did text me with a comment about the show, it's true.
Did he say stop going off topic?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
For real?
No.
Okay, that would have been hilarious. But no. But yeah, I'm surprised he isn't calling in, especially to talk about the sound mixer.
Yeah, well, maybe he will. Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't want to pay the long distance, and I don't blame him.
Well, you know, some people, I guess, can't afford it. Like
I can't afford it, but I just need to sell some DVDs, man, so I'll take the hit. Maybe that's why another cast are calling in.
Well, you know, or you don't have a cell phone that has long distance free, right?
No, I don't know anybody. I don't call anybody.
For real?
I don't have any friends, man. The second hour is going to be like my confessions and my my fears. My biggest two fears are failure and success.
Now, what would you be afraid of success? What would you be afraid
actually,
of?
Actually, that's baloney. I'm not. I'm fearful there will be no success.
Okay.
But you know what? Here's the thing. My goals are small. Like, my biggest goal before today was to be on the Independent Corner. And here we are. So, anything else...
Guess what? You're facing your fear right now.
Well, yeah, and anything beyond this is gravy, man.
You're on Fear Factor, actually.
I'm on Fear Factor?
Yes.
Oh, geez, hope there's no snakes.
Or spiders, or...
I can handle spiders.
Okay, well, you know, and that'll be the thing, because I'm also a wizard, I hope you know.
You're a wizard?
I'm a wizard.
This took a weird turn, man.
Just like your movie, Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
Yeah.
Very weird turns. There you go.
Weird turn. It's a slasher whodunit, and all of a sudden it becomes possession, and then all of a sudden it becomes zombie.
Well, see, that's what I liked about it. I liked all the cliches and all the different stuff that happened to be, you know what I mean? Like, it turns out that your movie is it looked like it was poking fun of everything.
It's a greatest hits, without being great, if that's possible. We decided it was going to be, 80s, we thought, well, are we going to do slasher, possession, or zombie? And somewhere I decided, let's just do it all. Because originally it was going to be, one of the early drafts, it was just going to be like a whodunit slasher, where it ended up being like some of the teenagers or one of the teenagers. I think in the end, actually, it was all the teenagers. They were all in on it, except for Kane and his girlfriend, Julie. And, that's all right. But then I thought, let's just push it. Let's just subtly change 15 minutes in from the slasher. Let's make it that they're possessed. And then, spoiler alert, not to give anything away to people that haven't seen it, but maybe it's nobody. Maybe it's an evil spirit possessing them. Maybe. It is, by the way.
Okay.
Spoilers. Spoilers all over the place. Who cares, right?
Right. Well, I mean, hopefully they've already seen it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Matt Worley has. Who's listening right now in Anaheim?
Oh, we have a caller.
Hold on a second.
Hello, 310. You should be on.
Am I on the radio?
Yeah, you're on. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this Ethan?
This would be Ethan.
All right. Hey, what's up, Ethan?
Oh, not too much.
Have you been listening to the show?
I can't because my flash player is dead on this computer and my dog ate the charger to my laptop. So until I get a new charger for my laptop, I am stuck. So.
Ethan, you're on the air with Jeff C. Smith, director of Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
Great title, by the way.
Thanks, Ethan. I would love to take claim for it, but our producer came up with the title. I had very little to do with it.
Oh, well, title.
But she's not here, so you know what? I came up with the title. And
there,
I
you go.
Of it,
there you
and,
go.
I give it all the success to the title.
There you go.
I tell you, man, I was going to, as a tribute to your last show, I was going to pump gas during the interview like you did. But
So you heard that one.
I did, man. Well, that's pretty much all I heard. But it was riveting, is what it was.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Hey, we've got another caller.
All right.
Wow. So the things are lining up. But right now it's somebody from Skype. So
yeah,
I don't
from
know.
Where?
So hold on 1 second. Let me put him on. Okay.
All right.
Hello, caller. You're on.
I'm on.
Yep.
This is Matt Worley.
Matt Worley from Anaheim?
It sure is.
Oh, my.
Are you calling from Skype, or?
I'm calling from Skype because I'm too cheap to pay for long distance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, because Skype numbers always come up as 000123456.
Okay, what is Skype?
It's a, I guess it's, well, you explain it.
It's
know
like
what it is.
Calling over the internet. Which is really cheap and pretty cool.
Oh.
That's all I have to say about that.
It's Skype.
So, okay. So, Matt, do you want to talk about the sound mix?
Yeah, it was hell. No, actually, like, I did sound mixing. I did some other things. Jeff, why don't you tell him some of the other stuff?
About what you did on the movie?
Yeah, I can't name
jack of all trades, man. How detailed do you want me to get?
I don't know. Leave out the dirty parts.
Leave out the dirty parts? All right, well, that will leave. We'll leave out the first day.
Yeah, that's true.
No, Matt was certainly a godsend. Matt's a technical guy, and I am not a technical guy. And so anytime Matt would get phone calls from me or when he'd be on the set, he'd get lots of questions from me about lighting. And obviously you could probably tell from looking at the movie which days Matt was not on the set. Because those are the scenes where it's dark. The scenes where Matt was there, you can see. But Matt was just our tech guy, and it was very difficult to try to give Matt a credit in the movie because his skills touched every aspect of the movie.
Cool. Cool.
How about that?
Yeah, thank you. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
So, Ethan, do you have any questions about the movie? Or?
Well, I mean, is it out on DVD? Or?
Yeah,
it is on DVD.
Do you guys have, like, a MySpace page or something
sure,
like that?
Sure, yeah. Where can we find it?
Who distributed the film, and where can we see it, and so on and so forth?
You only get one question, man. This is ridiculous. You can find us on myspace.com/stupidteenagers, where there's lots of information.
Cool.
We're distributed by Vanguard here in SoCal. And,
awesome.
Yeah. And we've been playing festivals, and we just played at it came from Lake Michigan. The way this interview is going, you probably have time to go watch the movie. Go rent it, watch it, and then call back, and we'll still be here, man.
What is it, a short film? Or?
No, it's like 80 minutes, but this interview has only really been about an hour, but it feels like it's been...
Actually, it's almost been an hour and a half. I guess it has been an hour.
See, it feels like an
50.
Hour and a half, doesn't it?
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Is that bad or what?
No, it's good.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've been getting off topic like most of the shows that we have, so.
Gotcha.
There we go.
So what's the synopsis?
The synopsis? It's kind of a horror comedy homage / parody of 80s horror movies with the young, good looking
violence and
violence, gratuitous nudity, zero budget.
Oh, cool. I like those movies.
Yeah, that's...
Those are always the funnest because you can do anything you want to.
Right, and so we did.
So was that... So obviously the movie was unrated, right?
Yeah.
Basically, because you probably didn't go to the MPAA.
No, that costs money.
Yeah, that costs a lot of money to get
so
rated.
We don't do that.
That wouldn't have bode well for the movie either.
Well, I don't know. Let me ask you this, Mr. Matt Worley, who's on the phone. Since you're here, I'll ask you a question. What did you think about the gratuitous nudity in the movie?
I've got certain feelings about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Of course, I tried to stay away from when you guys were shooting it due to religious beliefs and whatnot. But
it's
the kind of movie I could watch with my friends, but not my family.
Yes. Oh, my family doesn't
even
want to make it.
In the 80s, that's where most of us teenagers had to go and see boobs because there wasn't internet porn at that.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
And I'll tell you, that's a very funny thing about the way we did a lot of the nudity in the movie, and I figured no one is going to get this unless they watched 80s movies for those little, like, you know, those little glimpses like in Police Academy where they go by the fire and stuff like that. The nudity actually is pretty tame. We have our big nude scene is a girl that stands and looks at herself and washes blood off her in the mirror for a good 60 seconds. And she doesn't do all that much. But it's so that 80s nudity where you're just happy she's naked. That
kind of like that scene in Eurotrip where she just keeps rubbing her breast.
Yes, yes,
like,
yes.
Keep rubbing, yeah.
I think that scene where she's in front of the mirror is literally half the movie.
It's a lot of the movie.
That's how it feels.
As you know, Mr. Worley, that is those are award-winning breasts because
they are.
The Backseat Film Festival, Lindsay Gareth, who plays the girl in that scene, won the Best Breasts Award, which we are very proud of. Very prestigious.
You have to guess that, Doug would do that. Doug Sackman would come up with the Best Breasts Award.
Yes. They're award-winning breasts. Yeah. So congratulations,
awesome.
Lindsay, if you're out there.
So she, I'm guessing she's gonna be, you know, is she like now like a stunt breast chick or?
No, she's an actress. She was. We were talking about this earlier. She's an actress. She was in the Comebacks, which just came out recently. Which I don't know if anybody saw, but
never heard of that one.
It got the worst reviews ever since Stupid Teenagers Must Die. But it was a parody of sports movies with, I don't even remember who was in it, but Lindsay was in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so all of them, you know, all the actors in the movie are actual actors and they work. And.
Oh, that's great.
The only thing we spent money on was our cast.
Was it like a ultra low budget? Or?
Yep.
Gotcha.
We got some Financial Court in there. We got some...
Right. What did you shoot it on?
DV.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah. It's all zero budget.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, that's really great that you actually got it out there and people can go and watch it. And as you were saying earlier, that a lot of people were reviewing it and everything. And at least, you know who's watching and who's not, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very cool.
Yeah. But as far as, I mean, like, I think, were we talking earlier about this on the show or were we talking before the show about the Entourage?
That was before the show.
Oh, that was before the show. But, yeah, Christina De Rosa.
Yeah, Christina De Rosa, she plays one of our lesbians in the movie. Because, you know, what's a movie without lesbians? And she was recently on Entourage, and she flashed her goods to Turtle because she went into Johnny Drama's bathroom and stunk it up, and then she had to flash her goods. Classic. Actually, if you listen to we finally had a screening where we recorded the audio for the DVD. So there's a special feature on the DVD where you can listen to a drunken audience watch the movie. And it was right after Entourage came on. And whenever she appears, you will hear two jerks in the back. I don't know who they were. But every time she comes on, you'll hear two jerks yelling, Entourage! Because we were also very impressed that we love that show, so...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then she's also acting in a lot of other stuff, so there you go.
She's doing a lot. She actually emailed me today asking me to plug some things that she's in, and I totally forget what they are.
Well, I can plug a couple things because I'm seeing them right in front of me. But she's in a movie called Two Dudes in a Dream.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, my stunt coordinator. I think he directed
that. Look at Small World.
Yes. Well, I guess in L.A. it's not really that small.
Right.
Like everybody's working with everybody if they can, you know, just to get work done.
Sure.
But, I think Andy Milonakis is in that too. So.
And I know that Christina De Rosa and Ashley Schneider, also in her movie, were in a movie with Andy Milonakis called Parental Guidance Suggested. I don't know if it's called that anymore. But
yeah, as far as IMDb is concerned, it is.
It's still Parental Guidance.
Yeah, Parental Guidance. I think, wasn't it, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Andy, when Andy was on my show, he told me that that movie was a, like a sketch comedy.
It's a sketch show. So, yeah, like Kentucky Fried Movie or Amazon Woman on the Moon, which is awesome, I think. We haven't seen a movie like that in a long time.
Yeah, so hopefully,
it doesn't blow.
Hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah.
You know, and not be like another date movie.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
those date movies are fun, though.
Yeah.
Date movie and epic movie.
Jamie Preston, isn't that who was in that movie?
Hmm?
Jamie Preston, wasn't she in that movie?
She was in Not Another Teen Movie.
Movie, which was okay. I mean, I thought it had some parts that were good, so.
Yeah, sure.
But it's not as good as Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
There
you go.
Bring it all back. Bring it back.
But, so that's cool that she's in, you know, it seems like Christina's been in a lot of other stuff. So you can check her IMDb out. I'm not going to list all the stuff. She's been in a lot of stuff now.
She's been a lot of stuff.
There you go. Your actresses and actors are doing stuff now. So that's cool.
I'll tell you, I can't wait for one of them to hit it big so we can exploit the hell out of them. We'll put their picture on that DVD box and it'll be like Tom.
Re-release it?
Knows you're alone.
Re-release it as a director's cut and have her come
to
do the commentary.
Release it as the Christina De Rosa cut.
That'll be great.
Or when Worley makes it big with his stuff, it'll be like, you know, Matt Worley, crew. It'll be huge.
But how did you get into wanting to make a feature film? Like, I mean, I don't know if we really touched on it too much, but how did you, like, decide that this was going to be something that you wanted to do and get it done?
What a decent question. That's nice, man. All the interviews I do, they're always like, how'd you get the girls to take their tops off? That's
well, we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah, that's
about
on
that?
The list. I don't want to take away from that. By the way, it's Movie Magic is the answer. I don't know what's the answer. Just, you know, that's just something I always wanted to do, I went to school for it and have a degree in film production and just for years didn't do anything with it, and then finally got to do it. I hear you laughing, Worley, because Worley can't believe that I have a degree in it if you look at the movie, but it's true. Still here, right, Worley?
It helps, yeah.
Where are you guys located?
We're in Orange County.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah.
So actually, you got it in Long Beach?
One of the reasons why I called was I wanted to proposition Jonathan Moody, not like that.
Oh, I was thinking this was taking a very strange turn.
Well, as it turns out, I need to find a new director for this movie, Douche Monkeys. But I wanted to see if he'd be interested in possibly directing the feature.
Yeah, I'd be down with it if I can, like if I can get out there.
Well, I mean, you know, all that stuff is included in the budget. I mean, you know, but I'll email you over the script tonight and see what you think.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, sweet, dude. I would, yeah, oh, wow, that's that'd be awesome.
So,
It's a comedy, right? It's like a horror comedy.
It's a horror comedy where a 7-foot vagina eats a bunch of people. But, yeah.
Oh, that old story.
Huh?
Oh, that old story.
That old story.
Revisiting that one, are we?
I think so. I'll have John. I'll send some pictures to John, and he can send some pictures to you. And, yeah.
That sounds like right up your alley, Matt. Do you want to solicit for that kind of gig, the 7-foot vagina?
I'll have to pass on that one.
You're gonna, all right.
Maybe the audio mix.
Is it too big? Too big? Yeah, if it was like a 5-foot vagina, you'd be okay with it?
Yeah, thank you, Ethan. That's really cool.
Just be ashamed.
Well, I mean, it's up to you. I mean, if you think you can carry it and get it done, then yeah. So.
Yeah, dude. I'll take a look at the script and I'll see what I can do. But hold on.
I've actually got to run. I got to go get gas and cigarettes, and I don't think.
Yeah, you love to pump gas around this time of night. I know.
Oh, it's time to go pump gas.
Excellent.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Send me that link, John, where I can check out this film.
All right. Cool, man. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
All right. Have a good one, Ethan.
You too, boss. Call me later.
All right, man. Later. Wow.
Who doesn't love it when work falls out of the sky?
Yeah.
Well, I love that when, you know, it's you know, you get to hear somebody else get a gig. That's
wow,
awesome.
That was really weird. Yeah,
I'm
going to
be, you know, working at the theme park tomorrow morning. That's kind of fun. Matt, you got anything going on? No?
All right. Well, we got another caller.
Oh, we do.
Hold on 1 second. 937, you should be on. Hello? Oh, hold on a second.
Good job.
This is Jeff from LXA.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
Hey, am I the 66th caller? Did I win a chance to direct a movie? Or, well, wait a minute, that was you. Damn it.
That was him.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, but yeah, that was me. But yeah, that would be kind of cool. I mean, it was, that was strange. But yeah, that was cool. I'm excited about that. That's weird to happen on the show. But hey, you never know what happens on Independent Corner.
I know,
especially
maybe somebody
when
will call and offer me a job.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, maybe once he sees Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
No, that's the worst idea. No. My shot was better when he hadn't seen it.
Oh, okay. There you go. Jeff, have you seen it yet? Stupid Teenagers
Must Die? No, I have not. I was too distracted by that friggin' After Dark Horror Fest crap that I finally plowed my way through.
Hmm. But, yeah.
All right, thanks for calling, though.
But
but that's right up my alley. That's the kind of movie that I would watch.
Cool.
Stupid Teenagers Must Die?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, really, you can tell right off the bat that these guys had a good time doing it.
Right,
and
they had a very good time.
And that normally shows on camera, and it doesn't matter whether or not it's film or digital. You can always see the heart of the show. If the people are having fun, that always transfers to the screen.
All the best takes were after dinner. You'll be able to spot those in the film also.
Of course, nicely played, Master Worley.
Sweet. As far as what, I forgot to ask this question, but you kind of hinted
at it.
How'd
I get the girls to take the tops off?
No.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't the question, actually.
Okay.
So it might be another good question.
All right, might be.
Let's find out. But who did you ever say who came up with the title Stupid Teenagers Must Die? Because originally you said it was Blood and Guts, which is
what
IMDb
still called
it.
Originally Blood and Guts, and as we were getting closer to, we actually screened the movie a couple times as Blood and Guts, and as we were getting closer to actually releasing the movie and or trying to release the movie and sending out to distributors, I just remember thinking, all right, if there's ever going to be a time, now's the time to change your mind. If you know, if you don't like the title, it's now or never. So if you got, and I was just thinking, like, originally when we were making the movie, I had a more, you know, Evil Dead 2 kind of idea in my mind. There was going to be a lot more blood everywhere and guts, thus the title. And when people see the movie, we certainly have the blood spraying, but it's not to that Evil Dead 2 level. So a lot of times, just from the title, people would go, yeah, that was funny. There wasn't that much blood, though. So it was kind of, it was causing an expectation that we were not meeting. So.
Well, I want to say that the thing about the blood is you do see a lot of blood on the people. Like you said, that there was that girl who was nude and she was washing herself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was kind of a...
Yeah, let's just stop and think about that scene for a little bit.
Meditate on it.
Hold on, I'm watching it right now, too.
Oh, nice.
Okay, anyway, So, you know, and originally I had thought that the title Blood and Guts was pretty over the top and kind of was the, you know, the summary of the whole 80s horror genre. It's Blood and Guts. And just a lot of people weren't really getting it. So I thought, well, maybe we need something even more, a little bigger, a little more over the top. That,
well,
you know,
also it
stuff.
Could be Stupid Teenagers Must Die 2.
Sure.
No, I've got a better title. Stupid
you?
Teenagers Must Die Again.
As well?
Or as well.
Stupid Teenagers Must Die as well, or, well, no, because it's still the same people.
Yeah.
But anyway,
stupider teenagers.
Stupider. You all try to derail me, and I'm going to continue with this train of thought. Don't. So anyway, we had a couple different ideas for some kind of adjective, Teenagers Must Die, and we had different names, different kinds of descriptions of teenagers. It was actually our producer, Sarah Perel, the girl who also suggested that I lengthen the lesbian makeout scene because she didn't think it was long enough, so God bless her. She was the one that came up with Stupid Teenagers Must Die, and we put it to a vote to the cast and some of the... We didn't have much of a crew, but those that were crew, like Mr. Worley, had a say in it, and most people voted for Stupid Teenagers, and that became the title, and the ones that were not chosen are potential sequel titles.
So that's great. I think, like I've told you before, I really like that title, and Ethan said he liked it, and Jeff, you liked it too, right? Hello?
I love it. I think you're talking to the other Jeff, but...
Oh, wait, me?
Yeah.
I have not seen...
Well, no, but you
like
the title.
Just talk about the title, man.
Oh, no, it's awesome.
If you like it, I'm on the phone.
No. It's awesome because, I mean, really, 9 times out of 10, when I go out to buy movies, and really, I don't rent anymore. I gave up the renting. I might as well buy them. Mm. You know, take the plunge.
The,
kind of like Mary.
Sight unseen. You take that gamble and buy the sight unseen.
Oh, yeah. 9 times out of 10, I will look on the back, and if I see something that even kind of looks like video, I'm more towards actually picking it up.
Really?
Because I mean, like the original movies, like what was it, Redneck Zombies?
Sure.
The first one that ever came out on video, that came out on VHS.
Yeah.
VHS.
Yeah, I met him on the show too, Pericles Loons. So he's a good guy.
Yeah, and I mean that kind of stuff. I mean, really, you've got the cameras, you're shooting what you want, and really, it is heart, blood, effort, everything going into it. I was going to ask Jeff if what his production schedule was like, and you know, how many people participated in actually making the movie behind the camera. What was his crew like?
Well, I'll tell you the shooting schedule. We actually had a pretty good amount of days, because what we ended up doing was we rented a house. The whole movie takes place in a house, and we rented a house in Snoop Dogg's Long Beach, And we had that
on the LBC.
We had a caller from 714 that just left. I was just about to get to him, but
But I was babbling on about Long Beach. Call back, everybody.
If you're part of the crew, I mean, I'm guessing. Oh, hold on, they're back.
Excellent.
Hold on a second. 714, you should be
Hi.
On now.
I'm on.
Hey, yeah. What's going on?
Hi, this is Sissy. I mean, it's Jamie Carson.
Jamie Carson is the other lesbian we should have been talking about earlier.
Right.
What's
yes.
up, Jamie Carson?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hi,
the only
Jeff, how are you,
calling.
Honey?
Look, Whirly's here,
Jeff,
too.
Jeff, how are you?
Excellent.
Good. I'm glad.
What you doing, baby?
Well, I just got back from dinner, and I decided to call in.
Yeah.
That was kind of a late dinner.
I actually have no idea what you guys have been talking about this evening.
We've been talking smack.
But I hope it was good smack.
Oh, it's been like, you know what kind of smack.
How was the smack, baby? How was the smack?
it was a good smack. Jamie Carson here on the line, she plays Sissy, the blonde lesbian in the Madonna type gear. And
right?
She's awesome.
Oh, wow. And I'm just noticing that you were on Saved by the Bell, the new class.
I was on Saved by the Bell, the new class. You are absolutely correct.
That's really cool. I actually, you know, did you ever get to meet Screech?
You know, I did meet Screech. He and I actually, we grew up in the same pretty much town together. I was in Anaheim Hills and he was in Fullerton. So we were actually friends.
Oh, cool.
Did you watch
yeah.
What was that show he was just on? Celebrity, whatever, the fitness show he was on at VH1. Did you watch that?
No, I didn't watch that. Actually, you know what, though? My good friend Aaron Moran is going to be on the next Celebrity Fit Club.
Fit Club, yeah. Oh, he was an a-hole. You should watch that.
He might get that. He might come off with that.
You know, we don't want to say too much about him because you never know if he might actually come on the show one day.
That's fine. I think he knows.
You know, him and I had some great times together in Orange County, and we had a lot of fun when we were on Saved by the Bell, and that was a good time.
Did you do Screech?
I will never do Screech. My goodness. We got drunk together a few times. He actually introduced me to Irish Car Bombs.
Ah.
Nice.
Did you see his, the video?
Oh, no, I didn't watch the video. No.
Very good.
There you go. And we were talking about Screech when we should be talking about Stupid Teenagers Must Die.
Right. Let's talk about Stupid Teenagers Must Die. I've missed the first hour, so tell me, fill me in, enlighten
what
me.
What have we been talking about? Oh, gosh. Nothing that great, actually. You came in just at the right time. You saved us.
Excellent. I think I'll sign on to MySpace and post something with the number. What's the number to call in so that I can tell all of my friends on MySpace to call in?
I'm
going to bombard, and I'm going to text everybody right now to call in.
Wow, you want us to light up the radio. All right, cool.
Why not? You know, maybe we can crash the system or something.
Yeah, you know what? If we get, how about tell them just to listen, because I want more hits on I want more live listeners than I want people calling in exactly.
Okay, so we're going to live listen, and so I think I have this one. It's blogtalkradio.com/Jonathan Moody. Moody, yes.
Yes. So just tell everybody to come listen to you. You know, let them know that
right
you're
now.
On the radio.
And there's 47 minutes left right now, Jonathan.
Yes, there is.
Let's plug this right now all the way.
Jamie, did you have drinks at dinner tonight?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No. Listen, okay. I'm sober.
How many five-hour energy shots
have
you had?
Listen, What is it? Kiss me like a 21-year-old?
Don't kiss me like an 18-year-old. Kiss me like a 24-year-old.
Right.
No.
Oh, no.
Jamie,
I will never live that one down.
No, Jamie, let's not go into inside jokes.
No, I know. Right.
Let's just say, I was telling them, we were talking earlier about cha-chas ever so briefly.
Oh, yes, cha-chas.
And, cha-chas was the bar, and that we were talking about how there'd be nights where we would go, especially on Cinco de Mayo, where go like for lunch at the bar, and when we came back, we'd be like, do we want to shoot anymore? Nah, forget it.
Right.
Just kind of goof around.
Yeah.
You were saying like earlier how like the time wasn't going by. The time is really, really
well,
going by now.
Well, Jamie Carson, star of Stupid Teenagers Must Die and Hunger Pains, shows up.
Oh wow, we have another caller too.
We have another caller.
Wow, 408. You
me, Joe Flynn.
Who's this?
Joe Flynn.
Oh hey,
Joe
what's up,
Flynn.
Joe?
Hello guys, I just wanted to call in and say Jeff, it was an honor hanging out with you at Silicon.
Thank you, sir.
And you guys did a great job.
Thank you, man. It was an honor hanging out with you, Joe Flynn. You can see a wonderful picture of me and Joe on the Stupid Teenagers MySpace page hanging out at the bar.
That's right, at the bar.
Oh, the bar.
That's right. And I just wanted to say, Jamie, you did a great job, too.
All right.
Hey, I was just calling in just to, like, light up the phone.
Yeah, man.
See, light up the lines, baby. And don't forget. What are we listening to?
To
Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. I'm in the room, actually.
Right.
Yeah, so have fun, guys. And hopefully, Jeff, what's your next project?
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah, Jeff, tell me what the next project is.
It's going to be
my
Joe
question
Flynn story.
For you, Jeff.
Hmm?
Joe Flynn story.
The Joe Flynn story.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're going to try to find me anywhere.
Yes.
So I'll talk to you guys soon. John, great job on the show.
Thank you so much for calling in.
And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
Or bye. Yes. Well, that's great. Yeah, I know he was. He went crazy one time when I was talking to him about you coming on the show, you know?
The hell you say?
Oh, no, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. It was like, wow, he's just a great guy, and
Joe's a great guy. We hung out. I mean, the nice thing about all the places we've screened the movie is that I don't think we've ever screened the movie anywhere where a bar wasn't at least at the furthest away, 10 feet away from the screen. And at the convention, that was certainly true. And we certainly, I think the good reviews we have certainly may come from the fact that we always screen at a bar close by.
You know what? It makes the movie like 100 times better if you're at the bar.
Certainly.
I mean, I fully agree, and that's only because we filmed half the movie at the bar. I mean, maybe we didn't film at the bar, but we did take our dinners at the bar. I mean, who could ever watch a pirate sticking an 8-inch, well, it wasn't 8 inches, but I mean, a needle through his nose and through his cheeks.
Yeah, at the bar that we were
eating. Fire, you know?
Yeah, she's talking about the bar that we would go to. There was the bartender was a pirate named Tim.
Yeah.
Came to our premiere. Did you see him there at the screening?
I did.
Yeah, we invited him because he was like our mascot. And he would stick nails into his nose, and he'd take a stapler and put staples in his face.
Yeah.
And he ate fire, and no wonder we would go to lunch and never want to, like, we don't want to go back and shoot the dumb movie. We want to hang out with the pirate. And you drank some sangria, as I recall, and I think that was that your drink of choice during the making of, Jamie?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, at least she was in Playboy. I made out with a girl that was in Playboy, Christina DeRosa.
She was in Playboy?
Yeah, she was.
Was she?
Wow. She was. She was Babe of the Month. I'll plug her, too.
Check that out.
Wow. Everybody will have to check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to go check that out.
Wow. So, well, it's not like you haven't seen them up close and personal, so.
Yeah, but it's not the same. I know when we shot the scene with Jamie and Christina,
You close your eyes, or
yeah. I mean, I'm not. It was very strange. Listen to me. I'm stuttering now, just talking about it. It was actually Sarah that made us keep getting shots, because I'd get like the first shot, just like the master shot. I'm okay, we're good.
And she'd be like, we got a few more.
Another angle, and I go, no, we're good. She goes, don't you want another shot from over here? No, we're fine. She goes, no, you better get it. it was uncomfortable.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess that is kind of weird if you do a movie and you have nudity and the people are your friends.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's got to be kind of awkward when you...
Yeah, I'm over it now. If I did another movie with Jamie, I'd be like, strip.
Oh, do you think
take it off
for you?
What's that?
Would I strip for you now? You better pay me more.
Oh, I can't afford it. What are you talking about?
Oh, you know what, though? I did read in one of the interviews, one of the interview questions was, how did you get such beautiful women to show their breasts?
I told you that was
and
a question.
It was. Really. You know what? Because I actually was friends, and I still am friends, with Curtis Anderson and Sarah Ferrell. You know what? I felt very, very, I felt comfortable. And the first, I can actually remember the day that Curtis called me and said, Jim, we have your headshot. We're looking at it right now. And we actually want you to come in and read for the part of a lesbian. I'm like, oh, that's great, Curtis. That's wonderful. And he says, no, Jamie, she's going to kiss another girl topless. And you know what? I'm like, okay, that's great, Curtis. Yeah, I'll come in and read for it. And you know what? I never really thought about anything else. But, you know, this is Curtis's movie. This is my friend. I'd help him out in any other way.
Right.
And then I met a great cast and a great crew. So, I mean, I guess just showing my boobs is another part of it.
Well, I'll tell you this, Miss Jamie Carson. When we did the casting, there were a lot of friends of Curtis that came in to read for parts. And I'll be honest, I was harder on friends that were friends with Curtis, because I thought, oh, these jackasses are coming in, and they're only coming in because, and most of them, I'll be honest, were terrible. So, like, when they came in and did their, like, there was a, I won't name names, but oh my God.
No.
They were awful. And so, like, if anyone came in and Curtis went, oh, this is my friend, I'm like, oh, geez.
Oh, great.
Go.
Another
so,
one.
Yeah. So when you got the gig, it was because you were good in spite of the fact that I initially didn't like you.
And you didn't even have to see my boobs at first. I didn't even show my boobs until the day that we showed my boobs.
I know. So
was that a thing you were worried about, Jeff? Like that you're shooting the movie and then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, what if she decides she doesn't want to do this?
No, I don't think. I mean, here's the thing. We basically had outside help from people like Worley, and we had a special. Hey, Worley, are you still there, by the way?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
Hey, man, thanks. If you want to go, you can.
Oh, Worley, you're on the phone too.
Oh, Worley's been here longer than you, Jamie.
I didn't know. I came into this thing late. Hi, how
Worley's
are
done.
You?
Hi. Good, good.
Yeah. So, like, we had Worley coming in quite often, and then we had like a special effects guy. But for the day to day, everyday stuff, we basically had a crew of three.
Yeah.
That was me, Curtis, and Sarah.
We have another
wow.
caller.
And so. We'll get to that caller. Hold on. I'm in the middle.
Uh-oh.
So I didn't really have time to worry about whether or not Jamie was going to get her gear off or not. I just assumed she would, and boy, did she. Who's the caller?
All right, let's put him on. Okay, sorry.
That's cool.
Caller 310, you should be on. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
And funny, I was just calling about Miss Jamie Carson and her gear coming off, and it was smashing fantastic. I love her for it.
Is this a friend of Jamie's?
Oh, actually, I'm
what?
Fine.
Who's this? Do I know you?
Yes, you know me.
Do I? Oh,
is
dear.
Is it Dick Van Dyke?
Sorry?
Is it Dick Van Dyke?
No, it's not Dick Van Dyke. You know what? I've gotten that twice today.
Is it Jack Sparrow?
No.
Oh.
Well, is it Johnny Depp?
Gosh.
Is it Sean Connery?
That's what it sounds like right there.
Oh, is this? I'm a fan. Oh my God, I'm a fan.
You have a fan, Miss Jamie Carson.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And there was another girl who didn't make the film, but her name was Cheryl, and she was just as hot, if not hotter, than the other girl.
I think she was in our chat room.
You think so?
Actually, there was a girl who apparently was named Cheryl that was in the chat room. I don't know if she still is, but,
you know. I don't know.
Could there be more than one Cheryl?
Maybe.
The hell you say.
The hell I say.
Jamie, you've got a fan. How do you feel?
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. So I'm a fan of one.
Yeah. Buy that movie, fan number one.
Oh, yeah.
I bet this is Dustin Diamond.
No, not at all.
I don't know if Dustin Diamond would admit that he was Dustin Diamond anyway.
Oh, he wouldn't actually. I would.
Wait, hold on. Would you admit you were Dustin Diamond? Sorry, Dustin. I mean, but really, would you?
So who is this actually? So we know.
Hang on, I need to get back on set. So sorry. Jamie, great rack, love it. And cheers, we'll talk to you later.
That was kind of creepy.
Oh my God, you didn't give us anything.
Who was it? Do you know?
I have no idea. Honestly, you guys, I have no idea.
But
I don't know either, but I'll tell
a lot of people. So,
I'll tell
right?
you this, I'm pretty sure he was really English.
He was English.
Yeah, I think he was English. That accent was spot on.
Jeff.
And potential stalker.
Listen to this.
Yes.
We are going international, baby.
Thank God. We're trying now to sell it international. So it's so good that Grant called it.
International. Come on.
You know, Amazon.com reaches random people.
My word.
It does. It does. And you know what? Yeah. Do it.
So did you post that on your MySpace? Is that how you...
No, I'm trying to post it right now, and all I have in my bulletin page is, I'm on the radio, and in capital letters, now. I'm listening to me right now, blogradio.com/backspace. Can you just give me a minute, because I'm trying to multitask
right now. Shut up for a second, Jamie. Jeez.
I'm like Jiminy Cricket.
Everything
like,
was going
Jonathan,
nice and dull until you called
me. All of a sudden, we have a caller that's a fan. Holy crap,
right.
Batman.
How many Red Bulls have you had?
Jamie, why don't you just bulletin and we'll carry on.
We'll carry on until you
come back.
If you want me to sign off, I mean, I can end my phone call right now. If you guys
don't
want me to talk to you.
We don't want you to end the phone call.
All right.
We want you to just do the bulletin.
Can I take you out of my earpiece and try to finish this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then maybe try to pour myself a glass of wine. I mean,
yes.
I mean, everything's better with wine, right?
I've been the believer of that for the last hour.
All right.
Oh,
well, we've got another caller, or is this the same caller? So hold on one second. 310, hello?
Hi, it's Lindsay.
Lindsay!
How's it going, everyone?
Going good. Lindsay Garrett, who plays Tiffany, who we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I kind of heard you talking about me.
You heard us talking about you?
Just a little, but you know.
Well, you know, you were in the comeback, so we had to mention that.
Yes,
we did. Yeah, but you were like, what the fuck is that?
Well, we all didn't see it, I guess. So it wasn't because it was because we just, I guess, we're all poor. So
yeah.
We don't go with the
you can't afford the $10 movie ticket?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know.
Lindsay, who do you play in the comebacks?
I play Brittany.
You play Brittany?
Yes, most of my roles end with Y. It's either Brittany, or Dorothy,
or in real life,
Danielle.
You play Lindsay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How do you feel about the way the comebacks was received into the world?
Well, it opened at number 5, so for that I'm okay. But
That's fine.
It wasn't, of course, what we expected. But it was fun. So what?
Well,
you
made more money probably in one theater than we've made, so it's all good, right?
Probably. Well, what have we made?
I don't know yet.
Where's my money? No.
Yeah, Lindsay, that's all you care about. What have we made, and more specifically, what have I made?
Just kidding.
Oh, believe me, no.
Well, and what's this about us going international? I didn't know about that.
You didn't know about that? Well, it's because Jamie Carson is drunk, but... And she'll be back soon after. She can't bulletin on MySpace and talk at the same time, so she had to step away, but she'll be back.
All right.
But, no, we haven't sold internationally yet. We now have an international sales rep that will be going to the film markets and trying to sell it.
Yep.
Hey, Jamie, how are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm like, I haven't heard from you. I've talked to you forever.
I know. It's so long.
Right?
The Independent Corner bringing cast members together.
Bringing hot ladies together.
Yay.
We share a special bond because we showed our boobs, but not in the same scene. Lindsay's actually award-winning boobs, so I'm going to applaud her right now.
Yes.
Yay. Yes, yay. My parents were very proud. They posted it on the refrigerator.
Right?
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Lindsay?
About what?
The award.
Your boobs.
Well... I don't know.
I mean, it's
honored,
thing.
I guess, but I don't really have that much to do with them. I'm blessed. What can I say?
Well, so, I mean, would you rather have had worse breath?
No, I definitely am not a fan of, you know, the NASCAR doors. So.
No, they said that was the best thing in Jackson.
They were being sarcastic. That what?
What? Did she just leave the room?
Hello?
Hello?
What's going on here?
Hi.
I don't know what that sound is. Is somebody's cell phone messing up or?
Oh, I think that was mine.
Good job, Jamie.
That's all right. Sorry.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Hey, Jeff. I was wondering if you read the review for Stupid Teenagers Must Die off of horrorfanatics.com.
Oh, yeah. I'm a nerd. I Google us every day.
Yeah, they gave you a 7 out of 10, and... I like the very end of it where it says, if you like slashers, you'll really appreciate this film. If you like blood and boobies, you'll appreciate it also.
Oh. Well,
there you go.
So was that the other working title for instead of blood and guts, blood and boobies?
Blood and boobies.
No.
Jamie says no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
No, because Lindsay Gareth would never have auditioned for a movie called Blood and Boobies.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have either, thank you.
Right. But Christina
would have. Leeds porn.
Christina would.
She might. She
might have.
Now listen, I made out with her, thank you.
Yes, how
yes,
was
you
that?
Did.
Now,
I did.
See, now, Jeff, you're
so
asking
you.
All the questions. Like
what's that? I'm asking all the questions?
You're asking all the questions like
that. Well, I mean, I haven't talked to these girls in a while either, so this is very funny.
I know. You know what, though? You guys, listen, we should have an STMD reunion.
Cha-cha.
We need to go to Cha-Cha.
Talk about Cha-Cha.
An STMD, and it's really not a disease.
Yeah, that's why the M is there.
Right.
The M stands for not a disease.
Right.
Well,
yes.
Let me ask you this, Jamie Carson, because I am asking all the questions. When you were making out with Christina DeRosa, do you think how much of her performance do you think was acting?
Well, I was actually the shy one in the performance.
Yes, that's your character. That's fine.
Yeah.
So do you think?
I mean,
even though
I was kind of a little headstrong. I mean, I felt like more the dominant character, but I was actually more of the shy and introverted character.
Yes, tell me, how did you approach the character of Sissy, the lipstick lesbian who dressed like Madonna?
Well, she, you know what?
Was it method? Is that what it was?
She was so carefree.
We'll ask you about bottoms up later, Lindsay, so you just calm down.
Wait, which reminds me, I had to answer your question anyone's question as to how you got witness. Your top off for this film?
Yes.
And what the obvious answer was is the bottle of Jack that was constantly in the refrigerator.
No.
Well, sure.
Or the nice to cha-chas, Lindsay.
Yeah. Well, that's
the
one thing my pants
The numerous nights to cha-chas.
Exactly. It sounds like you guys had a lot of fun on the set, just like hanging out, doing everything. I mean, I guess that must have been the environment, right?
Yeah, I'll say there are a lot of times I thought, man, I wish we weren't making a movie. We could all just hang out.
Right?
The movie kind of got away after a while. Because especially when we would come back from lunch at Cha-Cha's and we'd be like, do we need to shoot some more? Can we just, you know,
that's great. Eric. Maybe we should play some Uno instead.
Play some Uno. Well, Lindsay, Gareth, you did show up at least once when you weren't even shooting, madam. So
I know.
You had some kind of fun.
Oh, I think I had 2 days where I showed up that I wasn't shooting.
Well, you showed up once because Curtis was doing the schedule, and he decided that we could have one lesbian and not both. And I remember I had no idea and immediately went, why is she here?
And the other day that I showed up, he's like, all right, we'll pay you an extra $50 if we can use your nipple to make it gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, yeah. I did get paid to show up, and then my boob, it was actually like a stand-in.
A stand-in?
So I can actually say that my boob was a stand-in.
I guess.
My boob got paid to be Lindsay Garrett's boob. It's like a few cup sizes smaller, but it did get paid to be Lindsay Garrett's boob.
But
Right? Was it weird, Jamie, that you were like, there was no camera in the room? It was just you and Curtis?
Curtis and I.
Yeah, and
he
was, like, did
and
he
was
say,
painting?
Like, the camera's outside
right?
the window, I promise.
And he was painting my nipple gray.
Yeah.
So it was like a
I remember
nipple.
He wanted to see if it would work. Now I remember.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was
Lindsay Garrett's boob stand-in, so.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that till after it was all done, because I remember
after
saying, we're going to light it red, it doesn't
after
matter.
After you paid me the $50, Jeff.
Yeah, how'd that make you feel? I gave you $50 to paint your nipple?
Jesus Christ, I'm raising it now.
I would have paid you at least $100.
Freaking A, man, I should have come to you first.
Well, that's what everybody said after the movie.
ladies, what are Joe Flynn wants to know, what are you guys' projects like coming up for your next projects? You guys want to talk about that?
Right now I have a film that's in production called Unwelcome Strangers. It's a sci-fi killer movie.
Sweet.
And it's in post right now, so I think it's going to be out come in the beginning of 2008.
Mm, nice.
Going to theaters. I just talked to the director today, and we're pretty much January, February 2008. It's going to be released into theaters. And then my next project is going to be a horror film that's shot in Renaissance time.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's fun.
And Lindsay.
I just finished a independent film with the Who's Who of TV television with like Ed Asner and David Faustino and Moran and all that fun stuff. It's called Working Title. It was a great independent film, and they want to take it. It's a total festival film, so they want to take it to like the Sundance and Cannes and all that stuff and see what happens with it. So.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was a great. We went to Chicago, and I'd never been to Chicago, so that was more
nice.
Fun.
I was just watching David Faustino on TMZ.
Yeah, gotta love David Faustino.
He's little.
Yeah, so
he's like a little
what's
wee
coming
man.
Up for me. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
these are always working.
Yeah, no. That's why I noticed, Lindsay. You were also in Bottoms Up when you were mentioning you played Dorothy. So
yes.
did you get to work with like Jason Mewes and Paris Hilton or?
I did. Most of my scenes were with Jay, and I actually met him a long time ago when I first moved to LA. He was one of the first people that I met out here, which was awesome. And then we kind of lost touch and then reunited on the set. Which was also, you know, obviously really fun. But, yeah, Jay's great and such a great guy. And actually, is talking about Small World, Nick Nack was also in Bottoms Up, who was, he, I believe, helped write or produce the Two Dudes in a Dream that Christina was in. So it's a very small world. Everybody's working together, it seems.
That's weird. We were talking earlier about how Christina and Ashley are both in parental guidance.
Yeah, they're in parental guidance. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Looks like we have another caller.
Another caller?
But it seems that whenever we have six people on here, somebody gets cut off.
Cut out Whirly.
Uh-oh.
Whirly, did you want to leave? And
sure, I'll take the call.
Oh, no, Whirly, you can stay.
No, I mean, Whirly, actually...
Actually.
What?
I'll drop out. Let's leave the cast on.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right.
All right, Whirly.
No, Whirly's going to stay.
Whirly's staying.
Whirly's staying?
Do you want me to leave?
I've been
saved.
The other Jeff's going to head out right now. I guess he just...
Hi, other Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
See, you didn't even know he was here.
Okay, so hold on 1 second. Let me put on 714. Hello.
Hi, it's Sarah.
Another local.
Sarah. Would you like art? Hi, Sarah. Hi.
This is producer Sarah Perel.
This is like a really fun conference call.
Yes,
the reunion
exactly.
So Sarah, were you listening and hearing everybody talk about you the whole time? And
me, you had to call in. Love you.
Oh, I miss you guys.
I miss you.
Yeah, no, you know me. I'm not big on this interview stuff, so.
No. Me either.
Yeah,
Jamie's not big on this.
Yeah, totally shy.
No, not at all.
Totally
shy.
This is my first one. I have not even done any of the interviews from any of the other places where I even had to, like, send in or email. Thank you.
Well,
oh,
Jamie,
wow.
Tell us about the signings that you, like, you just did a signing in Vegas. What's that?
Yeah,
I did. I actually just did a signing in Vegas. It was actually for the breast cancer fun. That's why I did it, and I met some amazing people. Actually, I took my mother with me, which is the even funnier thing. If you think I'm on Red Bull, think of me on Red Bull 10 times. That's
well, we met your mother in Vegas when we did the Movie Nation Festival.
Right. I mean,
yeah, she was crazy. She was running around partying more than we were, wasn't she?
Right. So that's why she doesn't get out much, but no, I'm just kidding. I love her. Love you, Mom, if you're listening. So
you do these, like, autograph signings. Who else is with you when you do these things?
Just my mom and I. But
no, but,
I
like, what are the other celebrities?
Well, have you watched that new show on NBC called Phenomenon with Chris Angel?
Yes.
He's one of the phenomenon contestants.
I've never actually seen it, but I just wanted to let your story be cool.
Oh, right. Listen, so this guy Jerry and I met.
Yeah.
He can, like, read your mind and crap like that. I won't even drop the F-bomb, but, yeah, like, he can read your mind.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you say you guys met?
No, well, we met and we hung out. I mean, he's a cool person. I mean, we met. We were at an autograph signing together.
Right.
And, Aaron Marin from Happy Days.
Joni.
Oh, Joni. This is the funniest thing. So
Joni's in my movie.
Such a
what?
Joni loves Chachi. But this is
Aaron
the funniest
Marin,
thing.
In working title.
It's a small world.
Yeah. I love Aaron. Aaron, love you, dear. So, mother is kind of a big deal in Vegas. She's kind of a high roller. Well, Aaron Moran couldn't get a room in Vegas. However, my mother could. So my mother hooks Aaron Moran up with a suite in Vegas. So my mother gives Aaron Moran like a two-bedroom suite in Vegas with, like, gift baskets and all this shit coming to her that says, thank you, Mrs. Israel, for coming, because mom's name is Michelle Israel. So Aaron Moran gets my mother's suite in Vegas.
And she only had to go to the timeshare meeting that one morning, which was awesome.
And the sad thing is there was no timeshare, just my mother's a big gambler in Vegas. And my mother knows, like, she's, like, is a high roller and shit.
And am I allowed to even call the F-bomb?
That's okay on the internet, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you can do it. Okay, good.
Yeah, you
know,
so my mom gets
Joni. My mom gets quote-unquote Joni a real. And she'll, I mean, Aaron would tell you the story. Yeah, my mother got Aaron a suite at the Flamingo Hilton in Vegas. Like,
wow.
No, I mean, for two nights, nothing.
So, Jamie, does Aaron Moran want to be in the sequel to Stupid Teenagers Must Die?
If I would ask her to be, she would.
And
yeah.
Is she willing to take her top off?
I don't know. Was she going to kiss me or not?
I told you, Sarah was always the one trying to get all the girls naked.
Oh,
I do I get to kiss Anne Moran?
Yes.
Totally. No, you guys, seriously, the fault is all mine for your extended nude scenes. Sorry. It had to happen.
It's fine. You'll just have to be in the sequel and we'll extend your nude scene.
You're right.
Yes. How about that?
It'll be the naked zombie.
Yeah. I'll reprise my zombie role.
Which you were excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I will say that was a good twist. So, the zombies. Hopefully, most people have seen this movie to know most of the, you know.
No, you totally
we're not giving away all the spoiler alerts.
Total spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's okay.
Everybody dies. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I really don't think that's going to be a deterrent. You know, if somebody was going to set that on.
I was
going to
watch the movie, but I heard on the Jonathan Moody show, everybody died, so forget it.
Yeah.
Well, no, but maybe they'll see it because everybody dies. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I want to see
really
a movie
die,
where everybody
though?
Dies.
Do they really die?
They die.
Do
if
they?
There's no sequel.
Do they?
What if nobody died?
Hmm?
What if it was
all
a team?
Exactly.
What if in the sequel they're all zombies? So how about Stupid Zombies Must Die?
Dude, shut up.
Oh, I'm giving away the sequel?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Gosh.
What?
But,
don't ruin it for us now. You know, we were on a roll, but...
Yeah, we were on such a roll.
Yeah.
We were really living the high life in the zero-budget horror movie world. And
but,
let's take another call.
What?
There's no call.
Yeah, there's no other call.
Let me see who the devoted cast members are.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Gareth and Jamie Carson and...
Oh.
Here we all are. Who needs the rest of them?
Yeah.
Jovan.
Yeah, Jovan.
Tell me about Jovan. What is he doing these days?
Jovan is married with a baby.
Jiminy Crickets, who would ever want that?
Yeah, have you guys watched our, like, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff?
Sarah, we're supposed to give them a DVD.
Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah, Ashley was asking for her.
Oh, yeah, my DVD.
Yeah, they... You need
all
to call
right, we'll
Curtis,
send you one.
You can call Curtis Anderson. Let me give you his phone number right now. Over
oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd love
he doesn't
that.
Have any DVDs? What are you talking about?
Well, if he did, he'd be at 714-749.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, Ashley was asking about her copy.
I'm sure she
told her
was.
I had one. She got very upset. So,
well.
You better send one over to her.
All right, well.
She's no longer sleeping on my couch, so you'll have
good.
To her house.
Oh, good. Progress.
Oh.
If anybody out there wants to call Ashley, her number is 310.
Oh, no. Don't give out Ashley's number.
No. Silly.
It doesn't even start with 310, so
yeah.
Don't worry.
So this has been an interesting show right here.
It's basically when Jamie called, all hell broke loose. And Lindsay just made it better.
I'm the instigator.
Yeah, and then Sarah
came
in.
I'll take that.
Hey, that's okay. That at least makes it a lot of fun for everybody.
Well, nothing
now listen.
For
what is our What is our timeline now? How many minutes do we have left?
12 minutes.
12 minutes.
Oh man, I'm going to send out a big text right now, so you just better watch out for the phone lines and for the chat room to watch out.
Well, you know, it can go over. It's just it can't be listened to live, so. Oh. I can't go over.
Well, then what's the point?
Right.
Well, what's the point? The point is.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's the thing. I plan on passing out right at 10 Pacific time. So if we
Jeffrey, how much have you had to drink?
What?
Wait, so Johnny, are you in New York?
What?
Didn't I call New York a New York number? 646, isn't that New York?
I don't think so.
Where are you located, Jonathan?
I'm in. This is a New York number.
Mm.
Yeah.
This number is a New York number. Yes.
Okay.
But but that's just for Blog Talk Radio for everybody.
Great cell phone.
Lindsay, is another season of Project Runway coming?
Tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. Runway on Bravo.
What's your connection to Project Runway?
My boyfriend is one of the producers on it. So his company, he's with the Mad Elves. And they are Emmy-nominated 2 years, I think almost 3 years in a row now for Project Runway.
He doesn't care about the writer's strike.
No, he's actually okay with it.
That show is totally not scripted, right?
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Did you guys go to the Emmys again?
We did. It was very fun.
See, look at us. We throw out plugs for everybody.
I know.
Right?
Go, Ben.
Ben's not even... Ben did go to Cha-Cha's, so he's
Ben
part of the family.
Ben is a part of
it. He did.
We love
Ben.
He's
very much part of it.
Yes, he was.
Ben was there to check us out to make sure when Lindsay took off her gear, we weren't going to be out.
My mom was there.
I was just going to say your mom, too. She escorted us to the liquor store.
Yeah, no, but can I just tell you, my mom is
to get your jet.
Your
mom loves me too.
She totally loves you. My mom was there while we were shooting this. Like, she was completely aware, obviously, that the goods would come out.
Right.
When the movie finally came out, she was freaking out about it. I'm like, okay,
really?
Maybe you just.
Hold on. Let's just stop this conversation right now. The very first screening when we were at.
We don't talk about that screening, but okay.
No, CineSpace. So listen, the movie theater is quiet. All of a sudden, the very first boobs you see in the movie are Miss Jamie Carson.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, in the middle of the screening, it is silent. And all you hear is, oh my God.
Was that your mother?
That's my mother.
I'll take responsibility.
And my aunt was with me, my best friend was with me, and we still give my mother beep for saying that.
Well, I'll
because
take
I
responsibility.
Did, you know, she knew. No, she knew. I mean, I told her, I'm like, Mom, I'm topless, I'm kissing a girl.
Right.
But all of a sudden, in the middle of the whole movie theater is silent. CineSpace is quiet.
Yes.
Well, that's because they were so impressed with what they were seeing.
No, I was going to say, I'll take responsibility for the theater being silent that first screening, Jamie, because our first screening was not a very good screening. The movie was not done. So there are a lot of parts where there should have been noise from the audience that were dead silent.
We do have another caller. Holy crap.
Oh, shoot.
I don't want to kick anybody off, but...
I'll totally leave.
Bye,
Sarah. Oh, I love you, Sarah.
I love you guys.
Okay.
See you soon. Talk to you soon.
Bye,
okay,
Sarah.
Okay. I feel bad for kicking. I didn't want to do that. But okay, let's put 619. Hello.
619.
Hi, my name's Carrie. I went to the premiere in L.A., and I just wanted to say I loved the movie. It was fantastic. We had such a good time. It was a lot of fun. And, Sissy, you were absolutely my favorite of everybody.
Thank you, really?
Lesbian makeout scene was fantastic.
Oh, my God, you're awesome.
So you've got more than one fan, Jamie.
Oh, my God.
It was great. And I'm not trying to fake a British accent like the stalker guy earlier.
Oh, so you weren't the stalker guy, you know, like, you're just changing your voice.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool man, but, yeah, it was such a great time, and I think they did a fantastic job with the film, and it was great, so I wish you all the best of luck, and Sissy, I hope you do great in the future.
Oh,
and I'm sorry we had to kick someone off so that I could fuck you up, but,
that's
you know.
That's all right. We'll kick anybody off for praise.
That's the way Hollywood works, right?
Yep. Well, thank you so much for calling in and saying all those nice things.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay. Well, there you go, Jamie. You got fans all over.
Oh, my God. I'm totally blushing.
See, if only we were video.
Right?
But, yeah, that's great. Wow. So, I'm guessing this show has been pretty big, I guess, because Jeff, you're MySpace war right there, you know.
Telling
everybody about it.
Jeff, my favorite episode. I mean, I'll go back to South Park was one of my favorite episodes with Paris Hilton. Dirty whore.
I'll say it's very fitting, though, that we have Jamie and Lindsay on the line, because talk about MySpace whores. Of all the tasks, they are the best about helping us promote, because it's very rare in this, you know, in the movie world where usually once the actor does their movie, they're like moving on, and you know, it's very easy, especially a little movie, you know, like ours, it's very easy to forget. And you know, Lindsay's here doing, you know, big movies, and it's awesome when you see that they are also on, you know, their MySpace pages or whatever, posting our bulletins or telling people about this. And I can't say, to get serious for just the last 5 minutes of the show, that I appreciate greatly that they do more than most to help our stupid little movie and, you know, spread the word. And
does anybody want to talk about their MySpaces, like give a link so people can... I don't know if you guys want people to, you know, to come.
Well,
add you guys.
Jamie wants bands to try to add her, and Lindsay wants girls that MySpace won't let them show their nude photos on MySpace. So please send them theirs.
I get a lot of lesbian hits now.
Do you?
Oh, totally. So many lesbians are my friends now.
No, that's why we try. That's why we have the character pages. We try to head them all off at the pass.
Oh no, they love Miss Carson.
All right, Miss Carson.
Oh, actually, you know what though? I was actually out on Sunday night in Hollywood, and I really rarely go out. And this guy comes up to me and he goes, "You are Miss Carson."
That's creepy. Yeah.
I'm like,
that's really creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, "I totally recognize you from MySpace," and he told me his MySpace name. I'm like, "Oh my God, yeah, thanks, yeah." And I'm like, "Had to go." I'm like, "Okay, MySpace." I'm like,
"You're
oh,
like,
Jesus
all right, Curtis.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
who
yeah,
you
yeah.
are. You don't have to tell me that."
I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, you also, don't you have, like, an official website, too?
I do. If you want to go to www.jamiecarson.com, can. Or you can always IMDB, jamiecarson.com.
Oh, look at who suddenly
IMDb.
It's the Jamie Carson Show.
See?
Right?
And, oh, you can always IMDB Lindsay Garrett. You can always IMDB lindsaygarrett.com, bring her ratings up.
Whirly, thoughts?
Whirly's off for now.
Whirly's here.
Whirly's still there.
Whirly, you have anything to promote?
Yeah, the Juniper Sequence,
right.
Up-and-coming film production company, and MormonCast.org.
MormonCast.org. You really want to be tied to Stupid Teenagers Must Die with MormonCast?
Yeah, there's no hope. I'm stuck.
Well, you can convert.
Heck yeah.
Convert the heathens.
Word up.
Awesome.
That's all I got.
I got nothing because you jerks get to all go off and do other projects, and I'm stuck with Stupid Teenagers Must Die. I can't
Yay.
Wait to do another project.
Well, I actually think my next project is going to be a horror film, an actual horror
film,
yeah,
not a guess comedy
what?
Film. Just
yeah, you know what?
Say.
We talked about you already, actually.
I'm not going to be the whore, goddammit.
Jamie, we talked about you already.
All right, Jeff.
Let's just calm down Jeff.
I can't wait for the next product. You know what? www.jeffreesmith.com.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know,
but somebody that's probably running for Senate or something just got some hits because of you. Listen,
darn it. Awesome.
Jamie, don't kiss me like an 18-year-old.
You know what? A 21?
24.
Oh, no. Can I kiss Lindsay?
Can
you or did you?
It got out. You must be winding down.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? 9 o'clock is my bedtime.
Well, it's 10 o'clock, darling.
Yeah, that's what I said. 9 o'clock is my bedtime. I'm loopy now.
You're loopy now?
Yeah. Yes, clearly.
All right. John, why don't you take us out, brother?
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Lindsay, did you have any final thoughts?
Any final thoughts? Final thought.
Lindsay's about to pass away. Do you have
a
final thought?
My final thought. Basically, it was just a lot of fun, as you can obviously tell. And you can, you know, my MySpace page is just Lindsay Garrett, so I'm super boring and very easy to find. But definitely everyone should go check it out. And, you know, sorry that the cover is not so flattering.
Oh, stop
okay.
It. It is very
Lindsay,
flattering.
You're the bomb. But it was so good to see everybody, and it was super fun, and, you know, everybody should definitely go check it out.
All
There's
right.
my final thought. How's that?
Lovely.
All right. Jeff, I guess you're the last one to mention. What are your final thoughts on everything?
Oh, man. The cover is flattering, by the way. And I'm sure we've sold most of our DVDs because of that cover. And I love all these guys, and I'm so glad you guys called in, and I miss you all, and... I think we should do some kind of reunion thing just because I think we had fun. As I think, you know, the nice thing about this movie is we made a bunch of friends, and we just happened to make a movie while we all became friends. So you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
I hope we see you guys soon.
Okay,
yeah,
well, thank
sure.
you guys so much for calling in, and I'll try adding you guys on my MySpace.
Awesome.
All right.
We will deny.
Have a great
you.
Evening.
Okay, thank you
good
guys.
Night.
Have a good night. And everybody should go rent Stupid Teenagers.
Oh,
bye.
Buy it. Cower.com, BestBuy.com, Netflix.
Amazon.
All right.
All the .com.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
Lynn.
Good night, Jeff.
Love
you guys.
Good night,
Worley.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Night, guys.
And that was it.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. And you have a good night. And we will, you know, let me know how everything's going. Hey, if you guys get a reunion going, let me know. We'll set something up where we get everybody. We'll try to get everybody in here.
That'd be great.
Maybe you'll have like a speakerphone or something.
Cool.
Okay. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye. All right, go buy Stupid Teenagers Must Die, and have a good night, everybody. Bye.